Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to the life-changing encounter with the Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Jato Susu Kamwinenye, the head pastor of Fountain Gate Chapel, Glorious Pastures Hope.
He's a mentor and a spiritual coach to many God has placed under him.
His messages centers on the Holy Ghost, righteousness, faith, discipline, the love of God and order in the body of Christ. These great teachings provide clear and straightforward answers to anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive teachings as taught by the man of God.
Today's message is very important to me. Father, in the name of Jesus, teach us your word. Cause us to obey. Lead us to practice and cause us to receive our blessings as the word declares. Let no principality and power be able to stand against us, even in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. My topic today is anointed to serve. Service is an anointing. You see, when we say anointing, everybody is looking at casting out devils. Everybody's looking like preaching like a parrot. Everybody's looking like laying hands on people. And everybody's looking like prophesying. Hey! But I can tell you the most heaviest of all anointings is the anointing to serve. Hello? Anybody that is anointed and cannot serve is not anointed. You know, when you see a pastor on Sunday, very busy, doesn't have time, all that he's doing is that, I want to serve these people. I want to make sure that one of them that is sick is healed. I want to make sure that one of them the devil is tormenting is released. I want to make sure that somebody knows some word and knows some scripture to be able to move their lives on. And so the person is so busy, so serious. And you know that it's service. Because he's going to do some things to make somebody's life better. And for that matter, he might be called a pastor. But at that point, what he's doing is servicing people or serving people. And so anybody that is anointed and can't serve, your anointing has a big question mark. You know, some people believe that they are anointed, said that they can't do some things. Some people can't even come closer to them. They can't do things for people free. They will not bow down to anybody. And I doubt whether that is anointing. Because Jesus Christ himself, who was the Word, who is God, who in fact is the anointing, came to serve. So who are you? Who are you? Anointing for service. Galatians 5:13-14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But this world is very wicked. Very wicked. Very wicked. Very wicked. And so, if you are going to love your neighbor as yourself, what you don't like, you don't do it to somebody. Can I hear an amen? But the Bible says that, brethren, we have been called unto liberty. In Christianity, we have freedom, liberty. I don't think Christ has put any law on anybody for punishment. I normally say, anything Bible says don't do, or the Spirit of God or Jesus says don't do, it is because of your good. You go and do it and see. God will be there as if he's not there. The consequences will come on you, he's not bothered. You even die, he's not moved. So it's because of your good that he's saying it. So in actual fact, when you sit down and see Christianity, there is a lot of liberty. You can do anything apart from the things that will damage you or will harm you. That one don't do. So what has God taken from us? Nothing. If you watch all the things Bible says we shouldn't do, if you do them, it will harm you. It won't harm God. It won't harm God. It won't. It is liberty. But he said, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Then you are now dealing with the flesh. You are now killing your flesh. You are now destroying your flesh. You are now doing fleshly things. But by love, the word is love. Serve one another. In church, you can see it all. Serving one another is not there. We decide to say, we are all come to serve Christ. Hey, it's not like that. Serving your brother is serving Christ. Amen. Serve one another. Any way you can push somebody up, even if the person will go higher than you, do it. Because one day, what you have put in that person may help you, but you don't know. But in church, there's so much envy, so much jealousy, so much pull him down syndrome that we are all down there. Nobody's up. But the more you push somebody to go up, you yourself, you are going up. The more you hold somebody down, you yourself, you have your height. Serve one another. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This word neighbor doesn't mean the one whose house is by your house. My next door neighbor. That is not it. If you have been coming to church and you have been sitting by somebody, that person is your neighbor. If you are in a department and you are working with somebody, that person is your neighbor. Ushers are neighbors. As much as all the church members are neighbors. Instrumentalists are neighbors. But can we say we love our fellows as ourselves? Simple put, if you want to love somebody as yourself, it means that whatever you won't do to yourself, you don't do it to that person. Whatever you want for yourself, do it to another person. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, oh glory, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. This is Apostle Paul speaking. For though I be free from all men, I am free. But apart from the fact that I am free, I myself will have to make myself a servant, because if they are making me a servant, it's like they are ruling over me. So voluntarily, even though I'm free, I have to make myself. Say, yet have I made myself, not they made you. If somebody made you a servant, it means he's paying you. But you are making yourself a servant to somebody who can never pay you something or even remunerate or reward you. Unto all. Me, when I come here, I don't see a child different from an adult. So if a child needs my attention, there are instances children call me behind here and they talk to me sense. I'm telling you, some of them, I fear them all. Pastor Jato, they are looking into your eyes. I dreamt, and I'm like, how did you dream? All the dreams, why do you know that this one is important? I'm telling you, some of the children are dread. We close from service Sunday. Some intentional come and sit down here. They want the anointing that you haven't watched them. Even adults don't know that. You joking with them? When they come, I give them attention like adults. And when you adults come, I give you attention too. All, I'm a servant to all. One day once they wanted to see me. I said, ah, do you want to see me with my wife, child? He said, no, my wife should be away. He wants to see me alone. I said, Kai, these are children you are joking with. Say, my wife shouldn't be a mom. He wants to see me. And I took him to the office. And he spoke sense. Don't be a servant to the rich and be a lord to the poor. It's not right. When the rich want to see you, you are in a hurry. When the poor want to see you, you are cold. Why must we be anointed to serve that we might gain the more? If you are gaining and you are serving, you gain more. But some people think lording it over other people is how you gain. No. No. It's by serving. It's by serving. Recently I posted something on Facebook. Today when I was driving my wife to work, I said, there is a young man that's a barber. And he looked at the homeless people who are living under the bridge. Because somebody has no money to feed, he's going to a saloon to barber his hair. You see somebody bring the previous and the present, the mustache and the beard and the like forest. This guy is a barber that roams the street putting their hair and shaving them. When they shave some, you know that they are beggars. Because they really don't have money to remove those things. But they make some, they look young. He said, when he does that, he goes home and he's fine. Now let me tell you, what can those people give him? That service. They can't give him anything, they can't pay. Even his TNT to go to them, they can't pay. That's why they can't access a barbering saloon. And that is his job. He's not getting anything, but he's gaining the more. The thing, if he was doing some other things and collecting money, me, I won't see that thing and share it. If he was collecting them one CD, and even doing the, I won't. The fact that it's free, I was moved to share it. So that you gain the more. Hallelujah. Gain more. Slaves serve their masters with benevolence, with no hope of recompense. But do we know, or do you know that you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus? You are not your own. But look at us. You see, if you have that mentality, you will be blessed. I wish the whole church will hear this. That when you are doing anything for God, though there is a reward, though there is a blessing, don't do it from the premise that you are doing it for a blessing or a reward. You won't get. Because one, do it in the position of a slave. A slave doesn't require thank you from the master if the slave gives the master water. A slave doesn't even require sorry from the master if he serves the master water and he's going down, he knocks his foot and he falls down. You don't say sorry to a slave. Why? You have been pitches. But today's Christianity is something, and we the pastors have taught the thing wrongly. There are times we come to church as if God owes us. God owes me my blessing. He owes me my breakthrough. He owes me my food and water. He owes me my job. Hey! You have been bought, in case you forget. And what they used to buy you, nobody can buy you again. Because that is priceless. So you can never even change your master. Unless you want to go to hell. No human being can pay with the blood. Even Satan cannot pay. So you reject that master. And your end is hell, because nobody can pay that. Are we still here? Goliye Kaba. So a servant or a slave will only do that which is his bounden duty. Slave, when you get up, sweep the whole of this room, you hear? Grab. You go to the kitchen, they'll give you your food. You hear? After that, bath and sleep. Tomorrow morning, that is your work. You hear, you don't argue with your master. That is your job. You never dare lie down and dream and see yourself collecting salary. No. That dream, you never dream it. When they carried our great-grandfathers to abroad, ask them how many of them ever dreamed that you pay them. That dream Quran won't appear. It doesn't exist. That you are in a lie and white man is paying you for farming his farm. Slave. Huh? That dream would have been superior dream power. It won't come. All that you'll be dreaming is that you are working, you are tired, and they are killing you and kicking you, and when you are so exhausted, they kill you. That dream, it will come. But to collect salary, or to say, oh, thank you, sir, for weeding this place. Thank you for going to the corn mill. Thank you for going to the factories and working. No. They put hot metal in fire. When it's hot, they turn your back and stamp it. JK. That is my own. Wherever you go, your back, and you don't wear shirt, you dare not. When they mix you up in the and you work, and this slave master come, they look at your back and separate you like sheep from goat. These are mine. These are like property. That's why when Bible says we are having liberty and we are free from all men. Spiritually, that is what Jesus did for us. He removed us from the slave market and made us free. Now that they made us free and we are no longer slaves and servants to the devil, look at our pomposity and our pride. Hey! If you want pride, come to church, oh. Come to church. No matter how best you perform, remember, it doesn't bear the same proportion to what you have left undone. So a slave cannot perform and say, oh, today they have performed. Look, the work you have to do till you die. So as Christians, you do small work and you are sitting down asking God for things. To God, what you are to do and you haven't done is more than what you have done. Shut up. And look for more work to do. Can I hear an amen? When you are in church and you are spiritual and you are looking at people, when it's time for work, when it's time for sacrifice, when they are dodging. You know, some people come to church, they don't want to do anything. The most annoying ones are those who think that those who clean the church are paid. They bring rubbish into the church. They'll sit down and eat something and leave it on the floor. Me, when I see you with my eye in this church, you pick it. Or by force, you join ushers. Come and drink Tampico and leave it here and go out. You don't fear God. Chew chewing gum and finish and paste it under the chair. Thank God this church, we don't see those things. You see, all strength comes from God. But He has promised us His grace as a reward to the good works we do for Him. Look at this. You are going to lift this thing. I am going to give you the power to lift it. And you still lift it, and I add you grace, so that after you lift it, I will reward you for the strength you used to lift it, which came from me. What have you done? Nothing. If we have that mentality here, we'll serve God better. Like right now I'm preaching. You say, oh, pastor is teaching well. Pastor is preaching well. Who gave me the word? God. Even the energy standing here, who gave me? God. And after I still do that, He gave me the energy, gave me the message, then He still blesses me. Then I go around bragging. I'm very anointed. Look at the teaching I gave. Everybody was clapping for me. You. From where did you get the brain? When you know those things, you just be humble naturally. It is lack of knowledge to be proud and pompous. I just see that you don't know the Bible, even human affairs, you don't know. For this life, it doesn't have anything for you to boast about. The strength comes from God. But God has promised of His own grace to reward the good works of His people. Hey! And that is because God will not be a debtor to anybody. Look, we all go to God. There is no way you can appear before God and do like you did some things. He didn't pay you like He should pay you. He didn't bless you like... God will not be a debtor to any man. Before you stand there and you are telling him, I lifted this vase and it was heavy and it's in your house, I turned it around and you didn't do anything about it, I never received a blessing. You ask the man, where did you get the strength to even lift it in the first place? Who gave you that strength? Then you start scratching your head. I don't know, but the banko I started eating when I was young. It gave me some muscles. Then they ask you, who gave you the banku? You say, well, I worked for it. And when you got up, did you know any plant called cassava before or maize? You are going into ditch like that. Your brain starts freezing. You got the questions will trace you out. You go and lock. Just realize that you are nobody. May we humble ourselves. That is why Romans 13:8 says something. Oh, no man anything but love, which fulfills the law. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything. I owe no man anything. That means that if there is anything you have to pay to any brother or sister, it's love. Not hatred. Not jealousy. Not backbiting. Not pesaminkumunya. Not pull him down. What can I do to make this person's life better? What can I do to let this person feel belong? What can I do to make this person also enjoy life? You forget about yourself. Hello? Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Wow. The things you do to people, do you love them? If they do the same things to you, would you like it? If it is yes, then you love them. If it is no, you hate them. Hello? If we really practice this word love, I'll tell you, there will not be murderers on earth, no thieves on earth, no whatever, because love is the principal thing for which reason Jesus came and died for us. But these days, you even love somebody and they pay you with evil. They take your love for granted and pay you with evil, heavy one. Then you are like, can I love again? It is your duty to still love. Jesus showed it. While we were yet sinners, hating him, doing contrary to the things he doesn't want, he died for us. And that death was a death of love. When we were busy kicking him, even the soldiers that were nailing him on the cross, he died for them too. Because he loved them. Hello? Love is not an easy thing. It's not like this fleshly love. Oh, I love you, darling. I love you when things are good. But when things are bad, the love turns into something else. We can't even call the name of it. It's not even hatred. It's above hatred. Hallelujah. Maliya Baba. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous. Oh, God is not like man. God is not like Adam. God is not like Satan. God is not like Herod. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Hey! There are some things you do in the kingdom and on earth. God forgets about them because they were not done in love. That labor was not in love. You are serving the person just because of what you can get. And that is because you are serving the man of God and you are expecting reward from the man of God. And so the man of God has rewarded you with some few things. Earrings and necklace. That's all. You didn't know that by serving the man of God, you are serving somebody's servant. And the reward comes from the person whose servant you are even serving. He's not a master, he's a servant. And that is God. But can I tell somebody something? Check how you serve and you don't get a reward. Your expectation might have been on a human being. If you go and work, and it's a labor of love, look at it, it's not the pastor. It's not the chairman. For God is not unrighteous, not chairman, not your head pastor, not your associate pastor, not your... God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards Whose name? God's name. But God will never forget. You did it out of love. But the problem is that if you didn't do it out of love and you are doing it for some favors and something, no. You may not get the blessings. The first thing is that, is it out of love? The labor you have put, is it out of love? Some people come to work for you. They didn't come to work for you with the labor of love. It's labor of expectation and labor that is expecting a reward. And so when they do it 1, 2, 3, they don't get anything. They revise their nose. They say, this place is not lucrative. But anybody you work for out of love, at times the person rewards you more than what you would have paid. One of the things I don't like is when I take my car somewhere and they say, oh, you're a man of God. We can charge you. Give something to the boys. They will never tell you that if you are poor. Because they know they will lose anything you have. They look at you and your anything will be anything. But they look at this other person and realize that, in fact, his anything is something. And if they are charging for the work they have done, it's so small that they can't call 5 cities. They can't say anything. So you have to give them more. You know, so, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor, your work. You have work. And labor, if you know the word labor, you sweat. But it's not for money, it's for love. Hello? I don't want to go to the other side. When you wanted a woman, the rain will beat you. You'll be happy. You are shaking like guinea fowl in the night. It's Hamatan, but you are going to the lady's house. Labor of love. You go, you can't enter. You are sitting outside. Dogs are doing, oh, you are still there. That is your labor of love. You are there. The sun is due. Why? You are on your way. Sweating like a lizard, but you are going there. That's your labor of love. All your money is finishing on credit. You are still buying. When it comes to God, dear, the labor of love change. If we could love God like we love certain human beings, our lives would change. Labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, God, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So as I'm preaching to you, I have a blessing for it. I'm ministering to the saints. You too, you minister to me. You also have a blessing. The day you don't get it, don't assume that God has not. Remember this verse that it is more than lotto number, sure banker. It's more than machine number. It will never go unanswered. God is not unrighteous. God will answer you. God will answer. Because you showed it because of him. I don't do it because of the person. I do it because of God. If that is your motive, you'll be blessed. When people are following you, as a money person, pray that God will give you a genuine follower. Because some are even following to steal the money. When they get the least opportunity, or more bombay sikane, they put in their socks. They're gone. It means God is not unrighteous. That is, God will not forget. And he will not do wrong. He won't do you wrong. You have worked for him, he did you wrong. Only man can do that. Not God. And God is bound to wrath, not because of you, but by his promises. He's doing all these things. You see, these are the things we have to hold on to. God is working on earth because he has lifted his word above his name. He is only working according to his promises, not because of what you do. He will never forget your labor of love. Not because you have even labored, but he has said he won't forget. And he will not. He will perform. Hallelujah. And may God perform all the things that you have done in his name. People spend money in the name of God. People do visitations on their own. They do evangelism on their own. They counsel people on their own. They work on people to come to church. And they are waiting for a pastor to say, Ayuko. Hey! The bigger Ayuko is from on high. It's from on high. And you are sitting down to organize you for evangelism. You are sitting down for the church to organize. You don't know blessing. He has promised to reward every good work and labor of love. And why? Just to promote or propagate his glory. When he's doing that, go and share it with people that God is faithful. Amen. But at times, we sit in the church and discourage a lot of people from coming to church because we ourselves, we are totally different from what God has said. We are not happy. We are not joyful. We don't portray God as a good person. They see us and they think that God gives us quinine every day to drink in church. Our faces look like they are baptized out with lemon juice. Every meeting we go, no joy. Who will follow you? Every work you have done that is truly good must have love for its motive. What I mean is that if you want to work for God, if you want to harvest anything you are doing, ask yourself, what is the motivation? I'm coming to church. What is the motivation? I'm giving to God. What is the motivation? I'm helping this person. What is the motivation? If it is to impress people outside, you have gotten your reward already. If it is to make people congratulate you, you've gotten your reward already. But if it is out of love, so that even if nobody does anything, nobody gives you anything, you are satisfied because you just felt like doing it. But God must put it in your heart. You don't do it because the person has done something to you. You do it because you just feel like doing it. And you are not intending to receive anything back. If it comes, fine, but that's not your mind. Hallelujah. And when you want to do anything, and you want to check and see whether you get a reward, ask some three questions. Will it please God? Would God be happy with what I'm doing? If God will be happy, go ahead. Two, will it help other people? Will it help other people? If it will help other people, go ahead. But first, will God be pleased? Will it help other people? Yes, it will help other people. Now, will it help me myself? Will it benefit me myself to serve God? If you can get this three, you don't need any voice from heaven to do what you are doing. This is clearly the voice of God. Let me give you an example. Let me say, I want to buy a bus for this church. One, will it glorify God? I'll say yes. Will it help people? It will help people come to church and go home. Yeah. Will it help me? Yes, one day I also join it. Oh, glory. You go to John 13, you see Jesus. Who is Jesus? But when he was talking to his disciples, he just got up where he was about to go and took a towel and started cleaning their feet. And he reached Peter. Peter said, no. You know, Peter's head was on the old order. Big man know they serve small people. Hey, me, I'm very righteous, holy. Jesus, you wash my feet. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you cannot be clean. He said, hey, Lord, then wash my head and my feet, my everywhere. But he didn't understand. And Jesus said, if people are clean, you only need to wash your feet. They are clean. But the lesson there was that, how does Jesus now serve his disciples who were calling him master? That is to tell you that the anointing is meant for service. And Jesus left this thing till the day or the period where he was about to be crucified and he'll go. He gave it down that order. So let me end this way. You are in church, you watch it. Anybody in this church, whether a pastor, head of department, head of deacon, and you see that the person is putting himself somewhere that there are some things he cannot do because of his position, that person has a big question mark. Me, I'm ready to do anything for God. Anything. anything. Because I know where he picked me from. I could have been doing those things for people without salary. Doing it for them without any fee. But because he took hold of me from the backside of the desert, and if I'm doing it for him and in his house and for his people, I think it is better. Hello? Any skill you have and it cannot be submitted to God. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know me? Now who are you? Until you lie down and people walk over you small, people tread upon you small, you can never go to the height you are supposed to go. Put it in your head. At times, it's God's order to see the spirit that is in you, that he has brought people to trample you on the feet, to see your reaction, whether you are a servant or a master. But may we be servants. I just don't know. Idly in church, doing nothing. I don't know. If I become a Christian, no. But I'll be a member of a department. I can't just be coming to church and going back. It's not possible. It's not. By my nature, I will think that no, I'm not working for God. I'm only looking for things. But we are dealing with labor of love. Labor of love. And when they wash their feet, let me add you this verse. When he washed their feet, the feet have some significance. Proverbs 11:30. Jesus washed their feet. And this is what Proverbs said. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth soul is wise. But from here, the Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of them that carry good tidings, that carry good news. Jesus was washing their feet so that they'll carry the gospel to the rest of the world, because he wants to make their feet beautiful. That is another revelation of that verse. That was the last thing he did. He is cleaning you by washing a certain part of your body. Telling you that you must evangelize the world. Telling you that you must go on and win souls. Telling you that you must be wise. The fruit of the righteous. Because he is not unrighteous to forget the labor. The work and the labor of love. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. There are principles that you have to put. If you don't go and win souls, you will not get them. If God will go and win souls and come and give to you, then he's breaking his word. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And blah, 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 blah. But if you want to see the real import of Jesus Christ washing their feet, it is how beautiful are the feet of them that carry good tidings. So if Jesus washed your feet, and you don't go for souls, and you can be in the church for 33 years. Your whole body is not clean because the feet are not working. So evangelism is the core mandate for the church. It is the labor, the work, and the labor of love God will reward and which he's looking at. May you be a soul winner. If you are anointed for service, the service, in actual fact, at times we lose fact. When they say service, even though I'm talking about church and things, don't limit your mind to cleaning church, maybe playing instruments, Maybe be a technical man, be a chorister, what? Good. But all those things, why are we doing all those things? To save souls. So if you are doing all those things and saving of souls is relegated to the back position, you are working amiss. Whether prayer warrior, whether pastor or preaching. If it is not geared towards winning souls, bungalows. We bought speakers, bought keyboards, drums, what? Build a temple, put flowers, everything to win souls. That's the main thing. Any other thing, if it was for the sake of the gadgets and the thing, then we have missed the mark. If there is a church that doesn't have all these things and they are winning souls more than us, they are better than us. Don't bask in your glory. You must go out there and win souls. You must go out there and convince people that Jesus is Lord. You must go out there and use your life to tell people that Jesus died for you. Can they see the change? He can change them too. Don't be in the church and be stifling the salvation of people. And don't be satisfied just working within the church and not working outside there among the souls. I want us to be on our feet.
I believe you have been blessed by this message. For further information, please contact us on 0243-172806. Follow us on Facebook, Fountain Gate Chapel, Glorious Pastures. Oh, God richly bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.